Well, all right. It's a big Thursday, Thursday night football. We've all been waiting for it. Here we are on Thursday, October 2nd. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. Huge one for the 49ers tonight, and liking their chances to LA is harder and harder to do every single time you look at this game. They're sending the JV team to play varsity football tonight down in Los Angeles. We got backups everywhere. The 49ers are officially down 5 starters from offense just from week one. You know, it doesn't even get into Nick Bosa not being there tonight. They're down Purdy, Kittle, Jennings, Pearsall, and Ben Bartsch. I mean, that's nearly half your week one starters right there. So this is not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, I think right now you should pretty much start preparing yourselves for the 49ers to not look good tonight in LA. But if they do, if they actually pull this one out, it's going to be one of the best wins of Kyle Shanahan's entire tenure here as the 49ers head coach. This is a huge game for the overall arc of this season. It is a big game in the conference. It's a big game in the division, obviously. But it's the is your sky starting to fall level of game. And, you know, it'll feel like Kyle has sort of brought the 49ers into the loss column more than into the win column 2 weeks in a row here, just based on decisions leading up, not to this game necessarily, but last week's game. And we'll get into all of that in just a second. But really, what we're doing here today, thank you for being here. Thank you for clicking on over. Thank you for being a part of today's show and today's community. And hit like and subscribe if you would, please. But this is just an amuse-bouche. This is just the appetizer. The main entree is served tonight. We're going to get going right after 5 p.m., and we will be doing our live 49ers watch party. So I hope you plan on being here with me tonight, here with us tonight. It's going to be a group therapy night, I think. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be a night where we're all going to need to come together. Niners fans, this does not set up well. But you never know when sports actually happens, when something weird in football actually happens. All my life, I've been watching games that were sure to go in one direction, only to see them go in another. So don't let the instant demise, inability to even go and play in LA tonight, kind of ruffling of feathers that I'm seeing everywhere online. I mean, there's a ton of negativity out there. And look, it's well-placed negativity based on what's going on. But crazier things can happen. All the injuries, all the moving parts, the short week, it does not add up to I love the 49ers' chances tonight. So maybe make this game a little bit more interesting by signing up for Sleeper. Oh, yeah. And by the way, let me just thank my man Ike right there. By the way, I got confirmation. If you're coming out to the Palouse Mania that's happening this Saturday at the Dubliner at 420, we're going to get a whole bunch of Ike sandwiches delivered to the Dubliner for us to feast on. And, you know, all the support you've given me, all the views you've given me, the least I can do is get you a sandwich from Ike. So come on by the Dubliner. Hopefully you make it there early enough to get a sandwich. I think we ordered about 30 of them. So that's a lot. That's a lot of sandwiches coming. And we will hopefully see you at the Dubliner West Portal on Sunday. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. We will have fun. Look, Ike sandwiches, Dubliner West Portal. Dubliner West Portal, Ike sandwiches. You put the two of them together, you must be at a Palouse Mania event. You must be watching Damon Bruce Plus. So thanks very much to them. And let me tell you, our friends at Sleeper, you might need them to get you through a Thursday night game tonight. You know, pick some overs and unders of players who are playing tonight. If you want to bet against the 49ers a little bit to maybe ease them losing, if that's what were to happen tonight, you can do that. I will not judge you at all. Go ahead, check out Sleeper. You get a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code Damon. I'd love you to click the link on the description of this video to go ahead and do that. And on top of the first-time users getting the 100% deposit match up to $100, you've also got this happening today. Just free $20 over at Sleeper, just waiting for you right now. No deposit required, no nothing required. You just sign up. You sign up for that promo, and you can have $20 to play with tonight over at Sleeper. So check it out. An incredible user interface. It is America's fastest growing app. Check it out tonight, all happening. Ahead of Thursday night football. Oh, my goodness. The 49ers are in a little bit of trouble. But, you know, what is it? Over in the Japanese, the same word for, opportunity and problem are the same word, you know, sort of thing. So maybe there's an opportunity here tonight. Let me tell you, this is an opportunity for DeMarcus Robinson to have a revenge game. Hey, DeMarcus, let's see what you got. By the way, you're going to be getting it from Mac Jones, not Brock Purdy. But Brock and you didn't have any special connection last week, so it's not like we're hoping for that to carry over. DeMarcus Robinson was hardly felt in his first game back against Jacksonville. He needs to be felt tonight for the 49ers to have a puncher's chance down in L.A. The fans need to be felt down tonight in L.A. 49ers are going to take over SoFi Stadium from a fan standpoint, from a scoreboard standpoint, from a football standpoint. That remains to be seen. But the fans that are going in there, you're going to need to be the home field for the 49ers on an away field. You're going to need to be that. Slowing down the Stafford and Puka connection. I mean, without doing that, there's no way to find a win, right? If those guys are going to go off and get whatever they want, how are the Niners supposed to keep up with that? The Rams got a really good defense and a loaded to bear offense. The 49ers right now, do they have either? Let me just say, and I mean it, if Isaac Garendo does not play tonight, you can go ahead and put him into the total bust category and you can leave him in Los Angeles. Like, Isaac Garendo has yet to take an offensive snap this season. Given the current situation of the 49ers and who's not playing tonight, if Isaac Garendo doesn't play tonight, he clearly is in zero plans for the 49ers and their future or their present or their past. I mean, if he can't crack a play tonight, what good are you? Why are you even on the roster? Seriously, if Kyle can't figure out a way to use Isaac Garendo tonight, Kyle should be yelled at by ownership. Did you seriously draft another running back that you can't even figure out how to get on the fucking field, Kyle? Seriously? If Isaac Garendo doesn't play tonight, something with the way that this team drafts and develops and coaches up its players is incredibly off. Okay? It's just the way it is. Look, this was going to be one of the hardest games of the season with Brock Purdy, with Ricky Pearsall, with Juwan Jennings, with Nick Bosa, with George Kittle. All hands on deck, not a single 49er hurt. This was a tough game right there. To go in again with the JV team, it's a big ask tonight. It's a really, really big ask. And the 49ers shouldn't win this one tonight. If they do, there will be much rejoicing. There will be much rejoicing if the 49ers actually win this game. I mean, it will be a massive ripple of positivity that you haven't felt since they were in the Super Bowl. Seriously, if the 49ers do win this, we want to talk about the ultimate deodorant in sports being winning when everything starts to stink. There's quite a bit there. Hold on, let me delete that. How dare anyone call during the live stream? How dare they? Here are the non-negotiables. You know, that you got to have them tonight. Given the circumstances, the following things I think must happen for the 49ers to even be in a football game midway through the fourth quarter. These are the non-negotiables. Brock Purdy has to be clean tonight. The 49ers are not winning this game unless they win the turnover battle or don't even get involved in a turnover battle. They cannot turn the ball over tonight and expect to win under the circumstances that they're flying down to SoFi Stadium to play in. They have to be clean. They can't do a single thing to help the Rams beat them. That is turnovers. That is protecting the football. And that is not being the biggest group of incompetence you've ever seen on kick and special teams punt return coverage. It can't happen. The special teams cannot make a mistake tonight, can't have any kicking mistakes, can't have any punting mistakes. And oh, by the way, on the way to finding a win tonight, I think the 49ers might actually have to steal a possession in this game. Now, the onside kick is no longer a way to do that because you have to tell the other team, hey, we're about to onside kick, which takes the element of surprise right out of it. You do not have to declare this is about to be a fake punt. I think the 49ers might have to steal a possession tonight. They cannot lose the turnover battle tonight. They cannot shoot themselves in their own foot with their own turnovers or problems on special teams tonight. And I honestly, I don't know how they're going to win tonight unless they win the time of possession battle as well. If it's just the Rams doing what they want, picking up first down after first down, and the 49ers are getting bullied on the line of scrimmage, they're not going to win anyways. But that time of possession, I think, is a big factor into the 49ers even being able to compete. They're going to have to slow play the Rams and Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua being out there working against them. They're going to have to possess the ball and have long drives. Are they built to do that tonight? Not really. Again, just makes everything more interesting, does it not? Yes, it does. Things are very, very interesting around here. Oh, now, pardon me. Let me get that right. I did out loud say Brock. Brock needs to tonight. Brock's not playing tonight. Pardon me for misspeaking. Yeah, it's Mac Jones. It's Mac. Mac Jones tonight needs to be on his game. He needs to be clean. He can't turn the ball. Sorry, I said Brock Purdy as if he is still the 49ers starting quarterback, which, by the way, he is. But I guess, you know, this brings me to something else that I wanted to talk about. And I didn't really want to, you know, put this out into the atmosphere before the game. But I got to tell you, I've been thinking about it the last couple of days. And I think you all know that I think Kyle Shanahan is a pretty good coach. I think he's got more merits than demerits against him. I really do. But I'll tell you, no matter the outcome of this game, like, I think that we do have concrete evidence that we could take into court to accuse the 49ers of being completely clueless as to how to evaluate injuries on their own roster, and that they have played fast and loose and recklessly, I think, with some of the injuries on their own roster. There's no way to gloss over how they handled the Purdy turf toe situation. You know, there's all kinds of other injuries that we could put on top of this argument to be extra sprinkles or whipped cream on top of this argument, but I just want to talk about what happened here with Purdy. Because after Purdy hurts himself in week one, we are told this is like 3 to 6 weeks, 2 to 6 weeks, right? This is going to be about, you know, he could be out up to 6 weeks. Then the Monday after the Saints game, he is out on the practice field in limited participation, but he's still out there. Again, you got a guy with turf toe. You told me this could be as bad as 6 weeks. And within a handful of days, you allow him back on the field to practice? Well, he said, Coach, I want to be out there and I want to practice. Well, what did your doctors say? Because if your doctor said 2 to 6 weeks, letting him get back out on the practice field just merely a handful of days after that prognosis seems a little foolish to me. Oh, by the way, there is also, absolutely also, the fact Mac Jones was playing pretty damn well. It's not like Mac Jones was out there giving you the type of performance that just says, man, we got to get him off the field as fast as possible, and Brock Purdy's got to get back out there for us to be functional as a football team. It was quite the opposite of that, actually. Mac actually looked pretty damn good over 2 weeks. So, you know, rushing Brock Purdy back for a winnable week four game against Jacksonville didn't make a lot of sense leading up to it. Certainly didn't make a lot of sense while you were watching it unfold, and he was clearly uncomfortable out there. And it feels like Kyle talked himself into losing last week's game with Brock Purdy. And now that Brock isn't available for the next week's game, Kyle has kind of talked themselves out of the win column in this one too. And Kyle is doing as much to beat the 49ers as the other team is with that one decision alone. How can you have a player this important to your franchise? Literally the only reason why you're still employed around here, Kyle. How can you have a guy that you just then gave, you make big dick money the rest of your career? How can you then not protect him from injury by resting him the appropriate time? How do you not further protect him from injury by further commitment and investment in an offensive line? You know, they have just, they've anointed Brock Purdy the most important thing we do around here, but then have not treated him like that at all. You protect your quarterback. Sometimes you got to protect your quarterback from your quarterback. It feels like, and you know, this is the pleasure of hindsight always being 2020, but we were saying this in real time, that it didn't seem right to get Brock into that Jacksonville game. They forced it. Because they forced it, he turned the ball over three times, didn't look good, re-injures and re-bothers the toe, and then instead of buying more time for Brock to get healthy, you buy less time for the team to be able to prepare because he's hurt. You got to go back to Mac Jones now on a short week. Like, is Kyle, does he have a calendar? Does Kyle see the way the entire year maps out and rushing Brock back this particular couple weeks seems to be as foolish a choice that you could possibly make? Very, very weird. Very, very weird. Again, PWS, Brock isn't playing tonight. Exactly. It is Mac Jones. And Mac Jones isn't bad at this. I'm not worried about Mac. As a matter of fact, everything I'm worried about tonight, technically, Mac Jones is like among the least of it. But he's got to be clean tonight. He's got to be great. The matchup to watch, Stout versus Puka. I mean, I want Diamador Lenore on Puka as much as possible, to the point where if he can follow him around the field, you might have to do that. Puka is just getting off this year. He leads the NFL in targets, catches. He's having a monster year. So asking a rookie to shut that down is a big ask. But asking anybody to play on this team right now apparently is a big ask because, again, the JV team is happening in Los Angeles tonight. I don't think there's any way to gloss over, though, how poorly the 49ers have handled this Brock Purdy turf toe variant situation. But here is the crazy thing. As much as I'm shaking my finger saying this was wrong, this was bad, as much as all of it created the situation that has everybody pretty much worried about how the 49ers are going to play tonight going down to SoFi Stadium. Joseph Ehrenberg saying, hey, this is a trap game for the Rams. Mac will show out. Well, I know you want Mac to play better than Brock at all times, Joe. But no, a division game is never a trap game. It's a division game. That's not a trap game. We have to work on a few what fits the definition of some of these contests. This is not a trap game. A trap game can never be your chief division rival when you're both 3-1. But maybe you catch the Rams underestimating. I don't think so. I don't think McVay is going to send his team out there with the concept of like, oh, this should be easy, because there's nothing easy in this league. But let's just, for a moment, hold on, wait, what else we got here? We got some supers that just came in here. This is PWS again saying, Kyle was maybe thinking this, Mac could also be hurt. We don't want to throw Brock Purdy into the fire against LA. So let's see how he plays against a lesser team. No, I don't think that that's the logic that was being used right here. Again, Brock Purdy means this to the 49ers. Mac Jones means this. There's no amount of like we're risking Brock to protect Mac that will ever happen. One guy is the starting cornerback and is the cornerstone of the direction this franchise is heading in. The other guy's Mac Jones. Don't let a couple good games from Mac let you start confusing those two. Joe Sullivan says, I think when Puka is in the slot, it will be Stout. Yeah, they don't do the shadow coverage, Joe. You're right about that. But again, what you want to do and how you want to play has to change when your situation changes and you can't quite be that anymore. So we'll see what Robert Saleh ends up doing. But yeah, slowing down Puka is a non-negotiable. It has to happen. It's going to be almost impossible for the 49ers to win if Puka Nacua had the kind of week where you said, well, whoever started Puka won that fantasy week. Christian McCaffrey might have to touch the ball 65 times tonight, which again is a situation that you set up if you're playing fast, loose, and recklessly with other injuries, which I think they have at times, and not resting a guy and re-aggravating shit and sore this, sore that all the time. The Niners are awful at handling, dealing with, preventing injuries. And I don't know if there's a bullseye to hit and figure out exactly who to blame. I think it's all hands on deck making a ton of bad decisions that when you tie them all together, usually get worse. Again, you could have bought a handful of more days for Brock Purdy by playing Mac Jones against Jacksonville. Jacksonville, by the way, should have been evaluated by the 49ers coaching staff as, you know what? Even though all these games matter, this one definitely does not matter. It just will not matter. Certainly, it doesn't even stand on the same platform of importance that the game Thursday night next week that the Rams will. So literally, as long as, you know, the locker room at Levi's Stadium doesn't burn down with the entirety of the team in it, that Jacksonville game did not matter. This one does. And because they chased the Jacksonville win too hard by rushing Purdy back and him playing poorly in that game, not only did Kyle, I think, cook up a loss for last week, he might have cooked up a loss for this week. But here's the deal. If they win, and this is where I'm going to end it. We're not doing a long show here. Tonight's going to be the long show. Join us at 5 o'clock. Hit like and subscribe. Hit notify so you don't miss anything. Here's the crazy thing. As much as I am not impressed with Kyle Shanahan right now at this hour, our 8, 9 p.m. hour here on the West Coast could be much different. Because if the 49ers do win this game, if what looks like the unthinkable actually happens and the Niners win this game, again, it's a division rival. Weird things happen. What's supposed to happen in football and what does happen in football are different things all the time. If the 49ers do win tonight, their situation instantly flips from way too injured and precarious to, oh, they're one of the best teams in football, sitting in one of the best situations in football. Even though they really aren't one of the best teams in football. But they will have done exactly what a team in their situation needs to do. All of the injuries that they've had, if they win tonight, they're 4-1 with 3 wins in their own division. There's no way to pretend that that is bad. There's no way to pretend that that is anything other than an A-plus start to the year in the NFL. 4-1 start, 3-0 in your own division, a win in hand against everybody. If they win tonight, that's what they are. That's who they are. And that would be amazing. Because if they are that, again, Kyle Shanahan instantly has to become a Coach of the Year candidate. And even though Christian McCaffrey's numbers have yet to be impressive, his impact should force him into the MVP conversation. Well, he doesn't even have a rushing touchdown yet. I don't care. He's got more touches than anybody else. Who in the NFL right now means more to their football team than Christian McCaffrey? You cannot find or identify that player because that player does not exist. Christian McCaffrey is more valuable to the 49ers than any player in football is valuable to their own team. You know, I guess if you took Josh Allen off the Bills, that would be a big deal. We'll see what it's like when you take Lamar out of the Ravens lineup, by the way. They're probably going to ask Derrick Henry to carry the few. Whatever Derrick Henry's over under on carries are this week, take the over. But I don't think that there's anybody more important to the way a team is playing than what Christian McCaffrey is. And if they win tonight, Not only does he need to be in the MVP consideration, I'm sure Fred Warner has done something to maybe have him reach number one in terms of who do you think your defensive player of the year might be. Fred Warner has to be insane tonight. He's been insane all year. Oh, he's just awesome. So, as much as I'm accusing Kyle of not knowing what he's doing and making horrific decisions around his quarterback and almost sabotaging the Niners' ability to win, if the Niners do win tonight, he's a coach of the year candidate. Great job, Kyle. It just shows you how quickly winning changes everything. Everything. Again, more supers. Stout, second in defensive rookie of the year voting through four games. Well, he's been very impactful. I mean, he's playing pretty darn well, and he's being baptized by the NFL in real time. But I think he's doing a great job. They're going to target him and Siegel tonight. Sean McVay is smart enough to hunt the limping, weakest Tommy Gazelle in the group. You know, he's like a lioness. He knows how to pick on someone. Conflict defender, I believe, is what Kyle Shanahan identifies the limping Tommy Gazelle as. That's the conflict defender, the guy you want to put in a bad matchup. Marquis Siegel has been giving it up when he's been targeted, especially deeply as a safety. Stout, again, that's a rookie. You're always looking to walk through a rookie door. Diamador Lenore is playing so well, people have stopped throwing at him. Renardo Green, we'll see if he's out there really playing well tonight. He was injured last week. PWS, again, very generous in the supers today, PW. Thank you. Jags and Rams are 4 days apart in 7 days equals same week. I don't know what you're getting at there, but it's not good. It's not good to have a short turnaround. Oh, no, you're saying the Rams also played on Sunday, so it is the same week for them to turn around. Sure, but they're not as banged up as the 49ers. They're very healthy, as a matter of fact. So it's cool for them to do this. Joseph Fernberg says, we just need to hold up until reinforcements come. And look, that's part of the glass half full of this year, that if the Niners fall to 3-2, everybody will be selling you. And there's truth to it. They're not selling it to you because it's the only thing left in the store to sell, but there's truth to it. At some point, Brandon Ayuk shows up. At some point, George Kittle shows up. At some point, Malik Mustafa shows up. At some point, Ricky Pearsall is back in the mix. At some point, Juwan Jennings is back in the mix. How will your offensive line hold up to that moment in time? How's Christian McCaffrey going to be able to do with 1,000 touches in a game because he's the only one who's out there able to move a football? I mean, I think you got to line up McCaffrey in the slot tonight. I think you got to use him in that Debo gadgety role and ask Brian Robinson Jr. and Isaac Garendo to be your backfield while Christian has to go do other things, because we can't just have him hit 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage every other carry because our offensive line doesn't know how to run block right now. What do you mean doesn't know how to run block? That's unfair. Well, they don't have a rushing touchdown. They could sure use one of those things tonight. You know, this has got Rams 24, 49ers 10 written all over it. It does. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. QWERTY says, you know, the 49ers organization needs to talk to a kinesiologist or a chiropractor or Chinese medicine. These injuries are ridiculous this early in the season. Yeah, like seriously. Like, can acupuncture help? How about a witch doctor? Can we try voodoo? Black magic? What's a male witch? Is that a Wiccan? I don't get it. Bring in a witch or a Wiccan or a priest or a rabbi. I don't care. You know? Do you have to cut a head off a chicken? We'll do it. I'll live stream it. I will cut a head off a chicken in my backyard if it would help the 49ers stay healthy. It's time. Clearly, regular doctors in medicine are not working. It's time to turn to the dark arts. Dark arts. A warlock. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. My nostrils to say a male witch is also called a witch. No, this is not like a male nurse is also called a nurse. A male witch has his own thing. Again, a Wiccan, a warlock. Again, Steve here is saying a male witch, would you go wizard or warlock? Yeah, it's not. Joseph, you see, I volunteer my firstborn. Wow, for tribute? That's very nice. Burn some sage. Burn some ganja. Whatever it takes, Jim Jablowski. Whatever it takes. Matthew, send them all to Germany. Seriously, send them all to Germany. What you need to do is you need to trade for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is fluent in German. We learned that this week. You trade for Amon-Ra St. Brown. You get the number one wide receiver that you desperately need. And you also have baked into your team now the German translator for all the charter flights that you're going to have to solve the injury problems over in Deutschland. I mean, that's some versatility. Not only is he WR1, he's the team German interpreter. We're haunted from the bear. You want a haunting? And yes, Joe, no matter what happens, 420 on Saturday, we will all feel a lot better because we're going to be hanging out at the Dubliner. Some Ike sandwiches are going to show up. My man Kenny's going to be pouring the best Guinness pole in all of San Francisco. Darwin wants to know, you having a watch party tonight? Darwin, of course we are. We'll get going right after 5 o'clock and we will be on through post game. So come on in tonight, hit like, subscribe and notify and not miss a single thing that we do. PWS says big game next Saturday. If you know, you know. Oh, go Hoosier. I'm going to tell you right now, if Indiana wins at Autzen Stadium, hide the women and the children. Because I might just be taking a bottle of whiskey to going down to the marina and just, I'm going to get Jillian's permission to just start making out with random chicks. And they're going to be like, why are you doing this? I'm going to be like, because Indiana just won at Autzen Stadium. And they're going to be like, that doesn't even sound like English to me. What are you talking about? I'm going to be like, I know, because that sentence normally doesn't get said out loud. The Hoosiers won at Autzen Stadium. It has happened in my lifetime. I did see that actually happen once. It was a year it wasn't supposed to happen. And if Indiana could have won years ago at Autzen Stadium, the 49ers can go win under their situation tonight at Levi's. But yeah, I mean, next Saturday, I can't even tell you how fired up I will be if that happens. Is DB saying CMC is more important than Bosa? Oh, look at it this way. If your choice is one guy keeps playing for the team and the other guy never plays football again, goodbye, Nick. That's easy. A guy who touches the ball 30 times a game is a billion more times more important than a defensive end. Nick Bosa losing, being lost for the year, isn't even measured with a half-game point swing in a single game that the 49ers are playing. Like, Nick Bosa is a very good player, very important player, but he doesn't affect the overall season like a guy who is on pace to touch the football more than any other Niner has ever touched a football in any year they've ever played. Christian McCaffrey is more important than all of them together. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is the only hope this team has. That's where you are right now. Who actually plays professional football for the 49ers tonight? Well, Trent Williams is a total pro. Christian McCaffrey is a total pro. Like any, when I say total pro, like any team in football would love to have that guy on their team. When I'm looking at the 49ers offense, there are two players that any team in football would love to have on their team. I think Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey are those two offensive guys. When George Kittle comes back, there will be a third. You know, I really like Dominic Cooney, but he's regressing a little bit in his sophomore year. You know, Dominic Cooney's future, yeah, any team would want that, I would think, given where he started. But right now, the way that he's playing, teams aren't coming for him. Even as he's slowing down, make no mistakes, Christian McCaffrey is one of the single greatest San Francisco 49ers that has ever put on this uniform. Period. Period. So win tonight. Win tonight. I dare you. I double dog dare you. And be here watching on the Plus, please, if you would. We'd love to have you doing that. And remember, when you're watching tonight, if you order a sandwich at kickoff, you can have it by halftime, right? You get to Ike's, you get yourself ordered up, and you will be eating deliciously. Oh, I don't know. Try a Damon Bruce on for size. Does the sandwich you're eating have onion rings on it? If the answer is no, your sandwich is inferior to my sandwich. Screw the tomatoes. I don't need any vegetables on my gig. Add some onions. Keep the tomatoes. I do want a little lettuce there. Add some extra Godfather sauce. Give it to me on French bread, not Dutch crunch, if you would, please. But give it to me from Ike's and sign up for Ike's and that Love Rewards program. You'll be happy that you did. You earn your way towards free sandwiches and join us at the Dubliner on Saturday. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be getting there at 4:20. We're going to be spinning vinyl. We're going to be hanging out. I hope you plan on joining us. I really do. And I hope you plan on joining me this evening for our watch party. And again, we are brought to you by Streamer this football season as well. Sign up right now on Streamer. You use promo code Damon on the link that is in the description of this video that you're watching right now, and you get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Plus, right now, you get a free $20 to play with. No deposit even needed over on Sleeper. For first-time users, go ahead and check that out right now. And see why I keep on telling you this is the fastest growing fantasy site on the planet right now. You're going to love that user interface. And again, if you got to make a few plays tonight on the 49ers, just remember, this is the new team logo. This is what the Niners are rolling down to SoFi with. They're going to put this on the side of the helmet tonight. Forget the interlocking SF. This is a better representation of who they are at this particular time. So go handicap Niners. Let's see what you got. Let's see if you can actually get it done. Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. Mac Jones, God bless you tonight, young man. You're going to need to be fucking perfect to get this done tonight. What else we got going on? All afternoon, we got some playoff baseball. Gotta love the wild card round continuing. Cubs and Padres, Tigers, Guardian, Red Sox, and Yankees, all winners tonight will advance to their respective division series. It'll be Dodgers and Phillies meeting in game one of that National League division series. That'll start Thursday in Philadelphia. Apparently the Reds were tipping their pitches and the Dodgers did feast. I read a little article about that. I don't know. Tipping pitches. I don't know. I don't think Otani and Mookie Betts needs to be told what's coming to hit it out of the ballpark. And those guys are awesome last night. The Dodgers looked really good. The Phillies look really good. That's going to be a hell of a series. I mean, that could be your World Series National League representative right there. Meanwhile, the Brewers, the Blue Jays, the Mariners, they're all waiting to see who wins today to see who they've got in their respective DSs. But playoff baseball delivers. Like, it was an 8-4 game in L.A. last night, but the Reds had the bases loaded. In a playoff game, they're down four runs. Tying run is at the plate. That's drama, man. That is drama. It's good. I had fun watching a little playoff baseball last night, and hopefully you did too. Hopefully you plan on coming back here tonight for the live stream watch party. We're going to get going just after 5 o'clock. So be here. It should be an awful lot of fun. And if the game goes sideways, it'll be an awful lot of therapy. We'll get through it together. And I did not bring my Woodford Reserve back upstairs. We might need this tonight. We might need this tonight. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Who's playing wide receiver tonight? Nobody. PWS, you've been all over today's Supers. Thank you very, very much. Save a little for tonight, brother. Bang Bang from Memphis. Take this and buy one of my fellow Palooses a beer on Barry and Mary at the Dubliner this weekend. Go Niners, go Padres. Love the logo. I laugh my ass off. That logo really is something else. Thank you very, very much, Barry. I will buy. How about this? You just bought Smiley Dan his first beer. Barry and Mary just picked up Smiley Dan's first round. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Smash that like button. Thank you, Joe. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? I was going to say, if Smiley can't make it, that beer will be yours, Joe. I might have to buy you a beer anyways. I think Joe's bringing like a 3 pounds of weed or something. At least he's hinting that he might be doing that. We'll see. Thanks, Barry. Look at that. Don't you love it when people get along? And Mary. Look at Joe. He's saying, it's just great. I love when people get along. Definitely going to be a few drinks tonight. Yeah, I think so. I think so. CMC could get 30 touches tonight. Kyle Shanahan will run Christian McCaffrey to Cedars-Sinai Hospital tonight if he has to win this game. There will be no respite for Christian McCaffrey. If he needs 40 touches, he will be asked to touch the ball 40 times tonight. Joseph, Damon, your favorite beer? Guinness. Guinness is the nectar of the gods. If you ask me, what am I usually drinking? I'm drinking one of two things. I'm either drinking a rye Manhattan, if I'm drinking a cocktail. If I'm drinking a beer, I'd like it to be a Guinness, but I'm no beer snob. Like, if the beer is cold and crisp, I usually like it. Unless my Guinness is too cold, in which I don't like it. Guinness is not supposed to be ice cold. A little bit more on the room temperature side of things, if it's done right. But thank you for asking. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. I believe all three will be in play. All three will be in play. And Rob, I said earlier, perfect night to actually use Isaac Garendo. If you don't use Isaac Garendo tonight, don't even bring him back on the team. If tonight doesn't present a chance for him to get his first offensive snap of the year, what scenario would present the chance for Isaac Garendo to get on the field? If he can't get on the field tonight, he has got zero to do with the team's future, with the team's present. He's useless. Isaac Garendo at that point might as well be one of my sons standing on a Niners sideline wearing pads. You going to put the six-year-old in the game? No, we're not going to put the six-year-old in the game. Well, why do you let him stand here? Well, he likes to wear the pads. You know, why are you dressing Isaac Garendo ever again if he doesn't play tonight? House of Guinness on Netflix was good. Delta Dan, I've seen that out there. Are they just appealing to my personal love of the brand to try to get me to watch this thing? Is this like an actual good show? Is there something that I don't know about? I've heard it's pretty good. You're one of the guys who I keep on hearing it's pretty good. TG says, Damon, do you know the status of Jordan Watkins, Jordan James? Yeah, both hurt and both totally blowing it early on in their careers. Neither guy can get healthy, and there's all sorts of opportunities for them to have maybe played right now. Oh, no, never mind. I forgot it. Kyle Shanahan hates his fucking rookies with a burning hot contempt, and he wouldn't be playing them even if they weren't hurt. Yeah, you know, those fumbles in practice put him deep in the doghouse, but you got to give him. I hear you. You know, like, here's the thing. If you're going to fumble, I'd rather you fumble in practice. It ain't good, but you also got to get over it. You got to move on. And you can't have a guy taking up a roster spot if he is if his address is, 1234, I ain't ever going to play him no matter what street. It just can't happen. You cannot carry a guy on that roster. There are enough injured players on your roster that you can't play, that you can't be walking past healthy players saying, nah, not interested in that guy either. You just can't. You know, again, how are you building out your roster in any way that makes sense if you're carrying players that in this desperate a situation still can't get on the field? Means you don't know how to build a 53-man roster, and roster control should be taken away from you. That's what that means. You're welcome, Dan. Nice George Thorogood reference. Oh, yeah. Gotta love George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers. Thank you, Barry. Steven says something here, and I'm not going to argue with you, Steven. He says, Kyle is not good at using his personnel. He does not play folks he does not trust. I would tell you that having anyone on your team that you do not trust is insane. Take the lesser player that you do trust over the physically gifted athlete that you're never going to play. I mean, if it's a matter of trust, then play your trusted player. I mean, it's insane. It is insane. You know, is this guy the right guy to be developing players? I don't think there's been enough young players really showing up game in, game out, mattering to say that Kyle's good at developing anybody outside of Brock Purdy. Wrap up with this. Burton Berger says, Kyle's looking rough these days. He's coaching injured. Well, he is aged like a president. There is no doubt. He is aged like a two-term president, and he doesn't look particularly healthy anymore. He really doesn't. But he'll be beaming ear-to-ear smiles if they win tonight. And why wouldn't he be? Because the Niners have no business winning a game under these circumstances. On the road, short week, but here they are, and let's see what they do. Crazier things have happened. But whatever juju they can put into the air, not Juju Smith-Schuster, but whatever karma they can put out into the air, they better do it right now, because they're going to need all the karma, all the luck, all the good tidings, all the dauber up instead of being dauber down that they can possibly fit into SoFi Stadium tonight to pull this one into even being a conversation in the fourth quarter. The Rams should win this by 2 touchdowns. They should. You know, the Niners don't get blown out a lot. I'll give them that. And, you know, if you're asking what could possibly be a worse corner to have painted yourself into, well, there's only one real answer for that. A Christian McCaffrey injury, this entire year is dead on arrival. The minute that happens, the minute Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, and, you know, he still needs to touch the ball 38 times tonight. Like, you're not winning without it. So how do you balance that? How do you balance that? Well, maybe you balance that by not asking him to have the NFL's biggest workload up to this moment. Like, you prepare for this moment before it arrives by not overworking him to this moment, but nope, that's not how the 49ers do anything. Go get this game. Go get this win. I freaking dare you. And if you do, it'll be one of the best wins in the NFL all year long. It'll be one of the premier wins, one of the least expected wins that you'll see in football this year. That's how big it is if the 49ers are able to pull this one off tonight. They'll either go to 3-2 and things don't look particularly good around here. Going to Tampa Bay next week, that ain't going to be easy. They're either going to be 3-2 with the feeling of, or they'll be 4-1. And off to as great of a start as Kyle's ever had in any season under the circumstances that he's had as a 49ers head coach. That's how much rides on tonight. That's how big of a swing this one is. We told you that 49ers and Rams was going to be one of the most important games of the year. We just didn't think it would be this level of importance this early on. But here we are. Here we are. And that's why we love football. So I hope you plan on coming on back here for our live stream watch party tonight. Meanwhile, let's get to today in history. It's not the most interesting day in history. Happy birthday to one of the all-time one-hit wonders with Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Don McLean turns 80 today. I dare anybody to tell me another song Don McLean has ever sung. You can't. It's just Bye Bye Miss American Pie. That's all he's got. But that's a monster. You can't deny how big a one-hit wonders one hit has to be for them to be labeled as one of the all-time one-hit wonders. A many-hit wonder and the lead singer of one of the greatest trios of all time. Happy 74th birthday to Sting. Mr. Sumner turns 74 today. Sting does. Happy 71st birthday to Dr. Melfi, Lorraine Bracco of Sopranos fame, of Karen fame from Goodfellas. Lorraine Bracco, 71 years old today. Just outstanding actress. I love Lorraine Bracco. Kelly Ripa is 55 years old today. Kelly Ripa still seems like she's in her 30s. That is one of the most happy, sparkly, boisterous women in broadcasting you will ever find. Kelly Ripa. Who doesn't like Kelly Ripa? She's 55 years old today and looking good at double nickels. Today, in 1836, Charles Darwin returned to England today after a five-year journey on Her Majesty's Beagle. That was the HMS Beagle that he went around, and he went to, the Galapagos Islands and all that. Charles Darwin came back today with all those specimens and observations which led to the theory of evolution and natural selection, and Charles Darwin came back a smarter man 5 years after leaving England than he was when he left. Nice job, Chuck. You know someone's really good at being smart when Charles never became Chuck. Not for a minute. No one was really, hey, what's Chucky Darwin doing? No one ever called him Chucky. He was always a Charles, you'd think. Speaking of always a Charles, I know this isn't going to win me any favors, especially here in Northern California, especially with the fact that my wife, I believe, went to the same high school as the guy who came up with the Peanuts theme. Peanuts by Charles Schulz was first published in newspapers today in 1950. I always thought Snoopy and Woodstock were cool, but Charlie Brown and his group of absolute loser dork kids who I think Charlie Brown is just a freaking loser. Like, why did that kid ever become like an appealing character? If you really related to Charlie Brown, you are the douchebag getting the football yanked on you, and you're a loser too. I think that he's the human equivalent of Winnie the Pooh. Just totally pathetic lead characters. It never appealed to me. I always hated the Peanuts. I always hated Winnie the Pooh. I'm like, me and my group of friends would have taken all these losers' lunch money instantly. And we weren't even bullies, but these kids are saps. You know, Lucy with her dime store psychological advice. Yeah, no. Yeah, Pigpen, just freaking filthy. I liked Linus, I guess the kid who just played the piano and had his blankie. Carl, Charlie Brown getting torched. Didn't see that one coming today. Well, that's why hopefully everyone tunes in. You never know how the show's going to go down. Today, in 1955, Alfred Hitchcock, he debuted on CBS, the Alfred Hitchcock Weekly Mystery Show. My grandparents loved that. I watched a lot of Hitchcock reruns when I was a kid. By the way, that's hardly part of it, because the even bigger TV event that was The Twilight Zone debuted today in 1959 on CBS. The Twilight Zone today, 1959. Today, oh, by the way, I skipped one here. In 1957, a British-American war classic, and this is a movie that I recommend to all of you. Have you ever seen The Bridge on the River Kwai? Great movie. It's a great movie about World War II, Bridge on the River Kwai. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Like, it was a monster. Well, it debuted today in 1957. Today in 1985, Rock Hudson died of AIDS. 1985, AIDS was a whisper. 1985, AIDS was a problem that people didn't want to talk about because they called it the gay disease. Rock Hudson was one of the leading men in Hollywood history and was very much a ladies' man, but he wasn't at all. Behind his scenes and personal life, he was gay. Rock Hudson getting AIDS pulled the AIDS conversation into the national public spotlight in ways it had not been before. So, a big day for AIDS today in 1985 when Rock Hudson died of AIDS, drew a ton of attention to the disease. By the way, do you remember the Beltway shooter? I mean, we have so many nut jobs with guns. I forgot about this guy, but I read today in 2002, the Beltway shooter, the sniper who killed 17 people, began his attacks. It's just what kind of world we live in. Good God. And if you want to know why the world has been a little funny since 2017, or hasn't at least sounded as good as it used to, today in 2017, we lost one of my favorites, Tom Petty. Tom Petty passed away today at the age of 66. What, died in his sleep? Like the same drug that killed Michael Jackson going to sleep, right? I don't know, man. I still miss Tom Petty. I miss Tom Petty. What I do love is I have a four-year-old who, when I say the name Tom Petty out loud, he goes, "And the Heartbreakers?" Teach the children. Teach the children right. What is the, Damon, have you talked about the terrible Tina Turner statue? Oh, I don't even know. What is the terrible Tina Turner statue? Did she get like a Dwayne Wade level? It doesn't even come close to looking like her statue unveiled. It's been a rough time. It's been a rough decade for statue unveilings. What, didn't Ronaldo have like a really weird statue? Some soccer player had a really terrible, that's not even close to looking like him level of statue. He's like, look it up. Okay, let's see how bad the Tina Turner statue is. Hold on. We'll end the show after that. Let me Google Tina Turner statue. Now I'm curious. Tina Turner. Oh, it comes up quickly. Tina Turner, you write S and it says statue. The new Tina Turner statue joins the list of scorned statues. This is from the New York Times. Hold on. Do we have a picture of this thing? Let me go to images. Tina, oof. Well, they went for the big hair look. You know, that's, I mean, Tina was all about the big hair. There's no doubt about that. Here you go. This is the Tina Turner statue. Oh, wait a minute. This is the Tina Turner statue. Oh, dude. Okay. So, you know, the hair to head ratio is off by at least 3 to 1. I mean, even Tina, known for the big wigs, it was never quite that big on her head. That face, that looks nothing like Tina Turner. That's, yeah, it's a bad time for statuing in the world. It really is. Hold on. Let me share that one instead. Hold on. That's not even close. Sorry. Look at that. I mean, what can you say other than, I guess, I'm glad she's dead and doesn't have to be at the unveiling of this to be embarrassed by it. That is terrible. That is terrible. How tough is that, man? You know, somebody's commissioning a statue of you. Wow, what an honor. Let's see what they did. What do you do? Like, oh, nailed it? How do you even react to that? That is bad. Hey, Damon, remember that Tom Petty MTV video, You Got Lucky? Yeah, was that where he's just like walking in front of a brick wall outside of a club? Oh, no, that was There Goes My Girl. Is the You Got Lucky where they did the space desert theme thing? I mean, Don't Come Around Here No More is the definitive Tom Petty video. But Barry, thank you. Thank you very much, Barry. Appreciate you coming on in with a couple supers today. That is a bad statue. Tina deserved better. You better be good to me. Tina deserved better. She, you know, the private dancer should have been done better than that. I mean, who's being commissioned for these? Are you just like walking up to random people on the streets? Hey, can you work in bronze? Can you do a statue? And people are like, maybe. Let me give it a shot. It's better than I could do. But then again, I'm not building statues for people. We'll leave you with this one. Ike Turner did the statue. Is he still bitter? He shouldn't be. He was the problem. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Thank you for watching. It was an absolute pleasure having you here. I hope to see you again at 5 o'clock tonight. Our live stream watch party will be open and just waiting for you to come on through. We'll see you hopefully then. In the meantime, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.